Y'all would join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for many blessings, dear Lord. We thank you for our staff, our students, and the families in our community, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to be with us, keep our minds open and our hearts open, Father, to your will and your wisdom, Father. Guide us in all directions, in the direction, dear Lord, that serves you. We thank you so much for your everlasting love, dear Lord, and your the salvation that we claim in you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all here. Thank you for coming. We have, let's start with good things.
Okay.
Boy, I know there's a lot of good things.
So, Lance is during one of our meetings a couple months ago, he was named for a district FFA officer. So, he had his leadership camp at Glenn. So we got to tour the campus a little bit and hang out with some other people from the area. So he was kind of stoked and happy, and then spent the weekend with my brother. So he was kind of happy. Got to get away from the little brother and sister.
That's a leadership.
We spent the last few days, last of the week in San Antonio in our Summer Leadership Institute. It's always good to get out, get some different training. Sometimes the trainings are kind of like, I tell people, it's like panning for gold. You know, you got to get a lot of water run through the pan to get those little specks, but it's those little things that you can pick up along the way if you're willing to put it out and, you know, and be there and grind through it all. And then it's a great time to get outside the boardroom. We haven't been outside the boardroom together for a year and a half, something like that. So just nice to get to visit outside of this environment to some degree, too. So.
I know there were some good sessions and some otherwise, I guess, are getting back on their feet. I'm going this week, so I'll be glad for that, just to connect with people again, right?
Yes.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you. So next we have a student recognition session. So we've got state qualifying students presentation. So,
Buddy and Katie, you're working on the screen.
All right. Got a frozen situation there.
I don't know. So we had so much success in the spring that we didn't think it would be possible to get all the kids in the boardroom at the same time. So we did a little presentation. And just, you know, with all the challenges that we had last year, we still had a lot of success. And our campus principals are here. You guys did a fantastic job highlighting your students and providing them those opportunities to excel and show their passions. So here we go.
Sorry.
You haven't seen the difficulties. So you guys saw this. We had a lot of success in academics. I mean, I'm going to read all that to you, but you know, that's one of the things we're going to be working on, building our UIL academics over the next few years. But we're seeing great success there. Athletics, you know, Sammy Weldon, first state qualifier in school history, I believe, for golf. State qualifiers in lots of different areas. Boys soccer, if you got a chance to go to that, that was pretty awesome. Getting to the regional finals. And then we had a great success in fine arts. And I should mention, if you go back to the athletics, we do have our new athletic director here tonight, Mr. Rowe, Randy Rowe. So welcome. Yeah. Fun to work. I saw you on Zoom last time, so I know he's busy getting stuff done. So welcome to Splendora. The band program, obviously, Color Guard, dance, band, just a lot of success there. I think this is the first time in history that we had sweepstakes. I think I remember first ever junior high varsity band earned UIL sweepstakes. First ever high school varsity band earned UIL varsity sweepstakes. So a lot to be proud of there. And there's some pictures. Color Guard, I got to go to that with Miss Archer and see them win their state competition, so that was pretty cool. Then we have all the different bands, the wind ensembles and the symphonics. a lot of success in CTE. We talked about that before, the Montgomery County Fair. Excited for East Montgomery County Fair coming up in September and see how we do there. And we have several board members that have kids showing different things, rabbits, and what are you showing? A lot of different stuff. Pigs, lambs, steers, whatever. And then we talked about the dance and then other groups and clubs. And the clay shoot, we won that, bass fishing. So we had a great, great spring, great year. So looking forward to getting back to some semblance of normalcy, opening campuses back up, letting parents come back in, volunteers. You know, that's one of the coolest stories was, I guess it was Peach Creek. Was it fifth graders or sixth graders in Wind Time created their own PTO?
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get PTO in the building, so pretty cool there.
They're
so,
yeah,
built their own PTO for Baltimore. So that's it. So a lot to be proud of.
I'm glad we're celebrating tonight, but I also am really glad that we see this on Facebook and Instagram and other areas too, and that the community can see that. So thanks, Utra, because it really is nice to, you know, highlight it to the community and not just see it in the board book. So
that's
just
how we tell our story.
It's true. It's really, really, really nice to see. And I'm especially glad the fine arts that, I know those kids, well, all areas kids work really hard, you know, and it shows, and it's really nice to see that. So moving on, someone else who's amazing and really leader in the community and someone that I know we all know and admire so much is Mrs. Joyce Lucas. And Joyce, I just have to say personally how with your quiet guidance and knowing you're there is just so comforting, I think. And Jackie is running a little late, and I know that she would be probably saying a whole lot more that's more significant. But I just think, you know, and I know we just admire you so very, very much. Your family as well, and I think that's a testimony as a mom when you have children that you're proud of and make changes in the community is just fantastic. So I know you're proud of that as well, but what you've done for the community and your way is just really so very appreciated, what you've done for the school. So,
Ms. Joyce, we appreciate you. I know what a very large impact you are for your own family, and we feel like we're extended family for you, and I think you do that to the whole community, and it's a huge blessing.
This community, and I love this school district, and I thank y'all for all that you do.
Thank you.
Was Mikey coming forward?
Yeah, she doesn't know why she's here today.
Yeah, she hasn't
done
a
lot. She doesn't know? Oh, nice. All right, so Mrs. Joyce Lucas, Glendora ISD, would like to recognize you as this year's RV Tullis Award recipient for a significant impact in our community. So this is
Sarah Chris.
I'm good.
That's nice.
And I'll take one for you. So one, two, three. Another one. One, two, three. I'll send a book to you.
It's as bad as Christmas.
Support the district in so many ways and have built this district to be what it is now. So I just, you don't always have to be in a position of being elected or a teacher.
Yeah.
You can. I think it's awesome. All right. So the next thing we have, audience participation. And I have not received anything so far this evening. Audience participants must have signed up prior to the board meeting start time. Participants may address the board on any agenda item. Participation is limited to 3 minutes to make comments to the board, unless the participant requires the use of a translator, in which case participation is limited to 6 minutes. The board will only consider complaints that remain unresolved after being addressed through the proper administrative channels and when they've been placed on the agenda. Please note the Board of Trustees shall not deliberate, respond, or make decisions regarding any subject that is not included on the agenda that is posted. For further information on these requirements, contact Katie Keith, Superintendent Secretary, at 281-689-4441. All right. So the next we have information and discussion items, starting with 9A, East Campus. So Kevin Lynch, is he still available for questions on that?
Kevin, are you there?
Okay, so while we're waiting here, we talked about this at the agenda review. So we have the demolition costs for pre-K, old band hall, and food pantry buildings. The estimate that we were given by Stantec. Currently, those facilities, they serve as storage for us. And so it's our recommendation to postpone moving forward with that demolition until after we have our annual audit. And so we're also working on that extra piece of property as well that would give us some leeway. So we talked about this a lot at the Lehman Facilities Committee. We do have that estimate. Go ahead.
You know, we talked in the tender meeting. It was one of those mills that's part of that master plan for that side of East County, East Side of town. And that, you know, those are the first two steps that we feel like we can do away with. They do serve as storage, and we will have to relocate storage for the district to other places within the district. We've got those kind of estimated costs. We know what it's going to take to do it. We get through the audit process, see where we're at, fund balance, and possibly move forward with that.
Yeah, 2-3 million for properties if we don't spend all that. Can you use that for a property? Yeah.
Do you have a question? No?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. So the next, if the board has no questions for Mr. Lynch, then let's move on to item 9B. Skating rink discussion. So we have some numbers and in the board book. Were there any questions?
I think we can continue to look down that path, but I'd like to see us go ahead. I don't see anything at this point holding us up from reopening the skating rink. I don't see any restrictions as far as state or anything that would prevent us from opening the skating rink immediately or as soon as we can get a manager of it. So I'd like to see us open as soon as possible. We can continue to look at alternative options down the road. But with that, I guess I'll make a motion that we reopen the skating rink as soon as possible, pending hiring a skating rink manager.
I'd just like to ask a question, if you don't mind first, since we're in the discussion mode right now. And maybe this was discussed in the agenda review, but the startup cost, I would imagine, would be there. We did, was that discussed? Because, you know, think about those states being sitting there for a year and a half. Think about, you know,
the largest kind of cleanups. Cost is going to be basically hiring somebody to run it. But as soon as we get it open, we would begin generating revenue.
I just worry about if the, you know, there's so much running a business, right? And something like that, if the skates aren't functioning well, or, you know, you don't want a kid to get hurt, and I don't know what those upstart, what those costs would be.
I mean, they were all running and operating prior to us closing it, so right. I can't imagine that there's...
Spiders in the shoes? I don't know. That sounds silly, but, I mean, thinking about making sure that everything... So we're assuming the manager would do that, and if there were any costs... Has anybody been in the skating rink to see what kind of things would cost?
We've been using it as storage up until about a month ago. But, I mean, it still looks the same. I don't know the condition of the skates. They're all still up there on the rack and everything, but the rink itself is the same as it was before.
Okay. And please know, I'm not in there to say, no, let's not do it. I'm just asking, what are the budgetary, you know, issues involved with that? When any place has been sitting for a year and a half, a home is sitting for a year and a half, there's things that happen to it in that time.
And we run our fiber over there too. My recommendation would be pulling that out and not having a third party company on our network, and having them supply their own internet.
Okay. Well, I don't know procedurally, Dan, if we can even do it tonight. It's not an action item listed. It's listed under the discussion section.
Anything listed on the agenda we can act on if we choose to. I mean, there'd be had to be a second for it to move forward, but. Right. I mean, I've had a lot of community members reach out to me and express that, hey, what's the problem, you know, how long we got to wait? And, you know, now we're past all of our protocols. We're wide open everywhere else. It's the one spot I feel like in the community that is that we truly continue to serve the community. We've closed many of our other community outreach programs as far as we no longer do the food bank. So, and there are several others I can't think of at the moment, but this is one that I believe serves the kids in our community and gives them something local to go to. And it's an affordable outing too for families. So that's why I made the motion.
Do you know if anyone's gone in there to kind of assess that? Again, for safety is really what I'm thinking.
Buddy used the technology when they took in a shipment of all the devices. They needed a big space to be able to get in there, get those devices delivered, get those things set up and imaged and out to the students. So that it's from a infrastructure standpoint, it's kind of been up and running.
Okay.
Since that point, we've had our staff go back through, do a cleanup on it. I believe it's going to. HVAC is operating, but yet Mr. Ringer says it's going to take a little bit of attention, but that's normal. I mean, before I left town, I developed a job description. I kind of thought this conversation was going to end up where we're at right now, and Mr. Kroger can have that job posted first thing in the morning if that's what the board decides to do. I just need some direction on how we want to do it, and we'll go.
As y'all know, I've had to abstain from this conversation for quite a while now, so I'm going to have to, while I feel it's important as well, but I can't vote on this one.
You know, there's a lot of that stuff for me. I kind of, you know that there's other things. I know we need to, long-term is to look at other options, but right now, I mean, there's basically the only thing our kids have is going to the water park right now. And, I know that the firsthand borderline unaffordable for a bunch of kids, and so, you know, something they can to do during the summertime, you know, the skating rink is an option, especially not being able to, and I'm new to use this too, as this other example. I mean, we all look forward to that SLI being able to you know, interact with kids, and they need this stuff to, you know, get back to some kind of normalcy. So I think I agree with Dan. I think we still need to see more options and see these things maybe in just a couple of months, but I think for kids' sake, man, I think maybe we need to get the thing open.
So does that mean you're seconding my motion?
I'm seconding the motion.
I have some reservation. I'll just say that right out because I don't, you know, are we hiring a manager to, will assess everything and see that we can open up in 3 days or 3 months or, you know, I want to make sure that if we're looking at this, that it's not going to be in a money pit where just for the summer, you know.
Well, to answer, I'm worried about that. I guess my thing is over the life of the skating rink, it has mostly been profitable every year.
Yeah, so, what we could see.
If we had to put a little in it to get it going and get student, I mean,
as far as like buying skates or far, you know, I mean.
But that's always been part of the part of the normal process of it.
I think the first thing to do is just, if we're going to do it, hire a manager and let them assess and then we'll move forward. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Just as far as so your motion would be to
post a position and open the skating rink as soon as possible. Leave it at that. I mean.
Okay. Well, we've got a second. So all those in favor, raise your hand. So we have a vote. Is that a hand up?
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm 45 here.
All right, 4 hands raised, 1 abstained.
Yeah,
so
abstained. Sorry.
Motion carries.
Okay, so Brian, you'll get that.
Did you get that motion, Katie?
I'll get it in the morning.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Skip all those.
So we're skipping the ECHS designation information session. So we have the information, so if there are any questions for July.
Let us know, please.
Let them know. I've got one, but I can wait. Monthly police report, item D.
Yeah, so Chief Weatherly is at a chief training this week, and so he is not here. It's pretty standard report, not a lot going on in the police department for the summer, so that's on there for your review.
Okay.
And you can see his, you know, narrative there about the bunch of stuff we're looking for, upgrading body cam system next year, so.
Any questions? All right, let's move on. Item E, district waste removal, dumpster lease pickup information. So, Darla's here.
Yeah, questions?
Any questions? This is just a renewal anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And clarification on that, though, I mean, we use the same, because we're under contract with the city. Anyways, right? So we get the.
Okay. So, some more questions. Moving on to item F, discussion regarding portable buildings.
Okay. Kevin? Okay, Kay's working overtime over there.
All right. We just want to bring up speed on Portland Midland because the cost of the actual physical relocation of the buildings isn't terribly high. We've got Bryce Faulkner House Living. They do a lot of the work. Cleveland ISD is advantage to them versus if other vendors would be. They pick the entire unit up and move it. Versus bust them apart into the two halves that they're made up from. When you bust, they're similar to a mobile home, but they're heavier built. But if you bust them apart, then you've got to do all the rehab and refurbishing once you reset them on location. All the drywall work, all the sheetrock work, tape load, paint, and such. So it's actually more cost effective to pick it up whole, move them. We're proposing to move all three units to the Greenleaf campus and basically be located, as the documents show, between Greenleaf and Peach Creek. Gives us a little flexibility. If we get to buy and need something for Peach Creek, we've got access right there by a walkway. We'd have to do some walkway work there should that need arise. But with all the growth that's going in Morgan Cemetery Road, it's fairly simple to understand that that's the Greenleaf attendance zone as it is today, and they're going to be the next campus impacted, and we feel like it'll be impacted prior to our next bond, which should alleviate that impact. The only other way to get around that, and you would do it then, would be to rezone. I just don't know if we want to rezone again until we absolutely have to. But but that's a decision that you guys, through the help of the committee, facilities and land, and then the board yourself will make down the road. It's a $96,000 cost to the district. I think it's probably a cost for growing pains. The major cost in that is the electrical infrastructure outside of the moon. You can see the totals there, the breakdown there. So, a good job of trying to think of everything that's going to affect that moon. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are up to speed. Not to that, if you have objections to it, I guess that's what we're looking for today. Otherwise, we've got a date to start that moon about the second week of July.
Are we at capacity there now, or are we just like, is this just anticipating?
We don't have an immediate need for all six options now, but we're anticipating what growth's coming in that area, and our option is leaving, one or two of them sit there at the high school, but it's a savings of economy of scale when you start talking about electrical infrastructure and such. Looks like I'm having some internet issues right here. This looks like that, if we're going to move them, let's move them in one project, and otherwise they sit and deteriorate where they're at. So I'd rather not have that.
Any other questions?
Yeah. No.
No? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not getting any sound.
It said thank you.
Good. I don't think you can see it right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. All right, next item 10.
Did you motion on that?
No, it was just an information item for you.
Okay.
Just see if you have any objections.
All right. Next, we have the dual language. We have a curriculum management plan presentation specifically on dual language. And
buenas noches. Gracias, Susana. I'm glad to be here tonight. This is way overdue because of COVID. I wasn't able to do this presentation. We didn't have sufficient data at the end of last year. So I'm excited to be here, and really without the support of everyone here, it would not be possible. So thank you, all of you. So I just want to, the first slide that you see is just a reminder of our timeline of how we're going to grow. And I know you've seen this before. So right now we just finished our second year. And next year we will start with dual language in second grade on two campuses, on Greenleaf Elementary and Timberlakes Elementary. The next slide shows the research of why we decided to go away from the early exit model into the dual language two-way. And you can see the green line, the highest one, shows the most benefits for the students long-term going from elementary all the way through high school. So the next slide is about our celebrations. We have great celebrations. To share with you, for the first time ever, we've had bilingual teachers become Teachers of the Year. At Timberlakes, we had Rachel Rice and Ms. Hilda Ramos, and they're also the first grade dual language team. So it was really exciting to see the new Teacher of the Year and the other teacher, the experienced Teacher of the Year. And at Greenleaf Elementary, we had Ms. Gallo, who was the new Teacher of the Year for pre-K. So it was very exciting seeing that. Our enrollment has gone up in dual language, and our teachers are putting themselves out there, going to conferences, and even Region 1, which is in the Valley, in case you don't know where Region 1 is, has called and said to me, can you give us names of your best teachers to come and be presenters at our conference in the Valley? And so Ms. Ramos and Ms. Weiss presented.
They'll take them.
Tell them no.
Well, they'll take them.
It's Zoom.
Okay, Zoom. Yeah. I authorized travel expenditures for that.
So I included some of the pictures and to celebrate those two teachers because this is the first time that Ms. Rice has done all this. I put the blurb that was in the Zoom catalog. Don't worry, they're not going to the Valley. And I even included the link in case it's only available for the month of June if you wanted to listen to part of their presentation. They were absolutely
amazing. Yeah, I have to admit, I listened to it because I didn't attend, but I did listen to it, and they were awesome in the comments that the people were pouring in. When it was, I mean, we're proud. They're so amazing. Proud.
I tried to click on the link. Was that the link we had? It said click here. And
yes.
And it didn't work.
Open
so
up for you.
No, not for me, but
I'll try to.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
So to help your cause, they may be actually recruiting people that want to come train with them.
Absolutely. So. I'm very proud of that.
Let's hope so.
So when you look at our enrollment in this chart, it's very simple. I just wanted you to look at the two schools, Timberlakes and Greenleaf, side by side, the dual language students compared to the regular classrooms, so you could see the enrollment. And they're quite close. If you look at the pre-K at Timberlakes, you have 19 in one classroom, but pre-K regular, you have 21 students. So you can see the numbers. We are getting out there. Parents are calling from all over the state for our program. I've had calls from Austin, from Dallas, people thinking that they're going to move into the Splendora area and wanted to know about our dual language program. So we are getting out there. You just need to be patient with us and help us through. But those are our numbers, basically just comparing what they look like.
In those situations, once they, you know, once y'all are all the way to the fifth or sixth grade?
Sixth grade.
Okay. Will they be able to move in and be in immediately into them on new students, or they have to still go through the cycle from kindergarten?
They have to go through the cycle from kindergarten. And that was a disappointment for parents because they're like, what about my third grader? And you're like,
no.
I'm sorry, no.
That's hard.
You know, only kindergarten. So we're still recruiting.
Unless they've been in at the level.
Correct.
Unless they've
been from that young
person. So they can. So it's not a closed door. That's good.
It's not. And I usually will ask the parent, is your child a limited English speaker or in the dual language program already as a native English speaker? And so they'll tell me.
That's good.
And it goes from there. So this is pre-K. So as a team, what we decided when we were putting this together and getting approval from the board to open the dual language program, we wanted to be able to decide how are we going to show the growth of the students learning a second language. So what we did is this chart shows just pre-K, the two schools compared to each other, of how many students are fluent, limited, or not fluent in that language. When you're in the test that we selected was a state-mandated test that we already use, and you're either graded as fluent English speaker, limited English speaker, or not fluent at all, or the same thing for Spanish. So I just wanted you to see how well our students are doing in pre-K. Now you need to remember that these pre-K students, it's our one-way language program. That means it's only one group of students, it's the native Spanish speakers in pre-K. So these are all native Spanish speakers learning English. And so you can see how well they're doing. You know, in the Spanish you even have some that are fluent, which is the blue section. So I just wanted you to be able to see how they're doing. Any questions? Great, thank you. So when you look at the summary now for the next grade level, this is for kindergarten. Once again, the blue is showing the fluent, the limited is the red, and the non-fluent is the yellow. And so you have Spanish speakers and the English speakers mixed up, and I just want you to show that even there are 7 students at TLE that already are fluent in both language by the level of the test. And at Greenleaf, 8 students are fluent in both languages. This is huge. They've only been in this dual language classroom 1 year. Now, my Spanish speakers have been in it 2 years, but the English speakers only 1 year. So this is amazing data for us. Now, in first grade, the grading system for the last test changes. Now you can be above proficient or fluent, intermediate, early intermediate, and beginner. So from now on, from first grade all the way up, this is going to be the grading scale on the test. So this is very exciting to me because to me, our goal that we set aside is for the student to be fluent. So the fact that you have above fluent, even if it's a 1 or 2 kids, it's huge. It really adds a lot. And so when you look at it, there's 7 students that are fluent in both languages in the listening domain, because there's the 4 domains. And 13 students are fluent in both languages in the speaking domain. That is, those are the 2 domains that we are testing by the end of first grade. Now, by the end of second grade, when I come see you next summer, again, then I will have second grade data, but the students will be evaluated on all 4 domains from then on, because they will have been in the program longer. So we'll have more data to be able to show you. And this is the other campus, this is GLE. Once again, they had 15 students in each category that were fluent in English and in Spanish in the listening and speaking domain. So now, the students at Greeley were definitely bigger classrooms because they had 3 teachers versus Timberlake's only had 2. So that's the exciting part of my presentation, but one last thing, I just want you to know, I have to thank the principals here, they're wonderful. They just send out their confirmation letters to parents, letting them know that all the children who have applied for dual language kindergarten in the incoming school year have been accepted. So that means at Greenleaf with Dr. Davis, 14 English speakers have been accepted, and he's at a cap already because he will only have 2 teachers, an English and a Spanish teacher next year. And he already has 3 to 4 pre-K kindergartners that have already applied for the one way. And at Timberlakes, thank you, Ms. Garza, you have 19 English speakers already for next year. And you have 1 Spanish speaker that also got accepted because we tested students. And out of those 20 students that Timberlakes has, 4 of them are employee children, and 1 of them has a sibling already in the program, so it was an automatic. So the only campus at this point that has positions open for next year is Timberlakes, but we're telling the community that they will be put on a waiting list for Greenleaf because people drop out, people move, things happen. So if someone drops out, a new person comes in. So that's how we're gonna work it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job,
Cindy.
Awesome.
Great information.
Very exciting.
Tommy Butts will be one of those kids.
Yeah, she's down. Good.
We'll see how that goes. Is it AML General Life too well? No, she's going to handle the language.
On the right one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So next we have item 11, consent agenda items with listed on here, minutes, financials, tax report, investment report, accounts table, approval of solution tree contract, which we have the information in our report book, renewal of property casualty insurance with Texas Political Subdivisions, consider renewal of district copier contract with Skelton Business for a 1-year term, 21-22, and approval of district cybersecurity equipment lease. So, the motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the special May 3rd, 2021 meeting minutes, the regular meeting, May 17th, 2021 minutes, the workshop, May 24th meeting minutes, the financials, tax reports, investment and collection reports, and accounts payable in the general operating account, a total amount of $1,333,353.61, the approval of Solution Tree contract, renewal of the property casualty insurance with Texas Political Subdivisions, the district copier contract with Skelton Business, for a 1-year term, 2021-2022, and the district cybersecurity equipment lease.
I'll second. All right. So all those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. Motion carries 5-0. All right. Remainder here, action items. So the first item is to consider the approval of the budget amendment number 3 for 2020-2021.
Okay.
Kevin?
More discussion.
Buddy and Katie, y'all are doing great work back there. Just
looks
like you got your own little hug.
Yeah. Do we need more discussion or questions? Then I'll make a motion to approve the budget amendment number 3. All right. So we have a motion and a second from Jason to approve the budget amendment number 3. All those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay, motion carries 5-0. All right, now we have the approval to consider of the 21-22 budget.
I make a motion to approve the 2021-22 budget as presented.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion by Alan And seconded by Adam to approve the budget. All those voting in favor, please raise your right hand. Yes, we have all those voting. 5-0, motion carries. All right. Item C, the approval of student fees recommendation. So we have the $30,000 to offset student fees. Is there any further discussion?
How is that distributed?
So that's would be up to administrative discretion. We would take the enrollment program, the enrollment numbers that Dr. Barnes pulled together. We have a new AED. We have been, you know, getting those folks together and saying, where do our, for example, demographics not match participation, and then allocate that way. We would do this on a yearly basis. The number would not obviously be the same.
What do you mean the number?
I wouldn't say we would do $30,000 a year. We would say as needed to make sure that the student fees were equitable.
Do you know off the top of your head what that would bring? Like, I know the cheer one has been a big one because that one's like $1,200 for a kid to participate.
So almost cheer, drill.
We pay for cheer uniforms and drill team. They're one uniform that they would wear here. So that's about $27,000.
What would that end up being? They're out of pocket though.
So on the mandatory, that would be your out of pocket mandatory costs from 562, take away 250. So that bring that down to about 250 on the cheer.
That would be like the camp.
They would have to pay for that, right?
Yeah. But we felt like the cheer was the one place where we had inequities.
We
wanted to address that.
And that's what I was wanting. You know, I was trying to figure out how to. Anyway, my thought was about $500 out of pocket is about where we should cap. But anyway, and I didn't know where this puts us within that range.
So then that would be like the uniforms would be the district's uniforms. So like we'd have them the next year. Cost would be like that every year.
Yeah.
When we've talked about moving cheer, and Coach Rowe may not know this yet, we talked about moving cheer under athletics, congratulations. And then looking at how we allocate uniforms that way. So just we felt that was a great starting point. Since that,
what does that put to out of pocket to parents?
We'd have to.
So on the mandatory, like they're at like 562 on the cheer mandatory cost. 250 of that's uniform. So that'd be 250. If they did all the optional, that was 862 on varsity, take away the 250, you'd be just right at that right number you're at. Now, in the junior high, it's whatever. And then in dance, they're at like 1,500. But
money for competition fees for them out of that, and this would cover. So they have, how many different uniforms do they have?
I think it's four.
Just in the field, this would cover the one for the field.
Each one of the dances.
I'm still trying to get to like how much are we asking parents to contribute? That's what I'm.
I don't think there's a solid, complete number for everyone, but I understand what you're saying. Let's go back and
the most pleasant is camp costs. Uniforms the biggest chunk of it. The next big piece is just the camp cost, which is I had to leave the price on it. It's probably like on $200 between $200 and $300.
Does anyone know just? Unlike on the dance, I know you were well professed in that. Is it mandatory if you are in dance to do all the competitions, or is that optional?
Well, not for the dance class, but if you're on the team.
That's an optional if you are anyways.
On the team, yeah.
So I think it's a good
I don't dispute it.
And I think it gives y'all an opportunity to see how it works the first, you know, and we're not micromanaging how the money is spent, which I think that's not our job.
No, but I do think that out of pocket, and that's where we'll see where this goes, but that's still.
That's a lot of money to cover a lot of stuff.
In one regard, and in another, there's other programs that we put a lot more money than that into. So,
you gonna make a motion?
Yes, I'll make. Oh, wait,
Jason.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to make a. I make a motion to allocate a maximum of $30,000 to offset student fees for the 2021-2022 school year.
I'll second it.
All right, so we've got a motion by Jason and seconded by Alan to allocate the maximum $30,000 for the student fees of 21-22. All those voting in favor, raise your right hand. Motion carries, 5-0. All right, so next is Dr. Burke's report.
Yes, so you have the summer school numbers there, about 282 total students from pre-K to high school. So, Tammy, anything to say about summer school going well from your vantage point?
Yeah, I think that we're actually happy with, we wanted higher attendance, but we are happy with the attendance that we have. This week, the attendance is going to be a little more up and down because it's the last week. So today, with the middle meeting in PLC, they were trying to talk about how can we re-engage the kids to make sure they hang on till Friday. So they were having a good meeting over there this afternoon. But I'm pleased, and as far as I know, that's the largest number of high school students that we've had since I've been here. Because high school students, you get 4 or 5 per subject area to come during the summer. So the fact that we have 37 and they're hanging in there, we're super happy. Mm-hmm. So,
Is any of that to attribute to online? Students working online are not getting credits, or is it just it's
remediation?
Remediation. Is there any reason for it, or just
for them not to come?
No, for the increased number of high schools.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I really can't say why it's an increased number. I don't know if they did a better job recruiting. I know they called every single student trying to get them to come, so they had a whole telephone thing going over there to try to get the students to come, so that helped some. And we're using a different curriculum. Of course, the kids didn't know that, but we've had some success with the curriculum, so we're happy about that.
I was just wondering, because nationally they've said how kids were failing, working online, especially the first semester. And I was just wondering if that was maybe if we noticed.
So some of the students that don't normally fail that came?
To make up their credits so that they wouldn't be behind.
That's a great question.
I don't know. Sure. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's a great question. Testing starts this week, EOC testing. Mm-hmm. So we'll be testing the rest of the week.
And we'll have those EOC STAR results to you guys in July. So Troy's been working hard on getting all that put together. All right, so So a lot of good things happening to close out the year. Good job there, Katie. But go to the second page. You can see we had another great graduation outside. I think we got very lucky with the weather. Nice. It was really, really nice. Ms. Archer and her staff did a wonderful job. We had a great golf tournament. I think we brought in $25,000, but that's gross. Okay, so now we have to pack the expenses out. But Sheila Untreiner and then the Education Foundation Board and all of our volunteers did a great job. We had a lot of a lot of architects show up for this golf tournament this year. And then you can see at the bottom.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so they were all there. They were all willing to throw it out. So you can see at the bottom, we had a great DLT retreat, I think. And I think we did it. And those are the bottom two pictures on the right. We didn't have a chance to do this last year. We did it via Zoom. And it was just really nice to get all of our DLT, plus our teachers and campus design teams back together. We did it at Foundry Farms, great facility, plenty of room. We had a great theme, communications put together, our Yellowstone themes. We talked a lot about branding. We didn't take all the themes from the show, but, we took some of the good ones. But we really had a great time just, working on some of our systems and things that we've been working with the Schlechte Center. Talked a lot about recruitment and induction, staff engagement. Lily Dett did a great job. Talk about our survey results with our students. It was just a good time for us to be together. We had our campuses do their pitches for their back-to-school professional development, and those were, Dr. Barnes was your first one to ever go to.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so just seeing the creativity of our leadership teams at the campuses, and that picture there, I think it's Kroger. Who's in the middle?
It's you, me, and D-Truck.
Is that D-Truck? I couldn't see D-Truck. So they came up with this, I don't even know what you want to call it. Challenge, I guess, and they had to take shots of milk at the end. So. Kind of gross, but who won? Peach Creek?
Did
you
get
one? You won?
Creek.
Yes, Peach Creek.
Peach
won.
Creek is a little competitive.
Yes, so.
We're all pretty competitive. We're aggressively competitive.
Yes,
aggressively. Yes. I'm looking at our cowboy gear in that picture.
Yeah, not very good. So, but just a great time to get back together, and I'm looking forward to presenting this again in August and September when we have no mask and we have, parents in the pictures too. So I think we're all looking forward to opening campuses back up. We have our principal retreat coming up on July 14th. We'll be going to Georgetown. We'll be working with our principals talking about some of those things. And I think, I don't know if this was a topic last week, I didn't hear anything at SLI, in terms of what next year is going to look like. And from TEA, we've heard nothing in terms of quarantining or anything like that. So I think as of right now, we're just full steam ahead. So I think we miss that. We miss that connection with our parents. I know our parents miss that connection with us. And so we're looking forward to getting them back in, getting them back involved. So, all right, that's my report.
You have on here balance scorecard.
Oh, yes, balance scorecard. I'm so
sorry. No.
So Jackie and I talked on Friday.
She just pulled in.
Oh, she did? Yeah. So we backed the goals up until July. We're trying to get everything on the balance scorecards, our strategic direction, CBAS. And so we feel like we had a good conversation, and we feel like we'll have some good stuff to show you guys in July. So if you wouldn't mind, we did send you guys those goals. If there's something in there that we maybe left out, please go back and look. We tried to take the information we had on the evaluation night and put those things in and put measurables, and so our cabinet have been working on that in terms of building that out, so we're going to continue to work to that end. So I feel like we're in a really good spot for that this year, having some, you know, and when we think about those goals, they're yearly goals where we want to accomplish them 21-22 school year. So any feedback would be greatly appreciated.
Y'all send them out already?
Yeah. We gave them to y'all paper copy last time. So we'll send you guys the electronic copy if we haven't done that yet. We're capable. Did you already send it out?
Yes, sir.
Okay, she already sent it out. There you go.
Been a busy week.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll all right, 2 or 3 weeks ago, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's been a while.
All right. Don't feel bad.
I'm probably sure I filled out, huh?
Anything else?
No, ma'am.
All right. So the Board of Trustees will now go into a closed session. The closed session will be held for purposes authorized by the Texas Open Meetings Act, Texas Government Code 551.074, personnel, concerning any and all purposes permitted by the Act. No voting will take place in the closed meeting. Any action the Board wishes to take as part of the discussion in closed session will take place after the Board reconvenes in open meeting. It is now 7:22 p.m. And personnel, resignations, we have. All right.
I'll come get you.
I don't know that. I think
Citizen, that was, you know,
Have you ever seen pictures of Brian?
No,
yes.
Did
you see when he had his flowing locks?
Come on. Look at California, feeling Minnesota.
He had Brian's long flowing locks.
But he was going to be a board man.
He wanted to be in something. And did you know that one of his jobs was he worked on the set of Barney? And it was
Hey, did you know, this is a true story. I don't have proof, but it's true.
I just know it's going to be great. I get so excited. No, I get so excited.
No, this is a true story. So I sang.
At first at sight. I don't have proof.
I sang with the Italian opera.
Oh, you
didn't
know.
Promise.
Okay,
promise.
Let's hear.
They didn't even call people to verify. Because they even made a video. They had a video of it. Miss Nancy did.
Sing?
No. So we were in Rome, and we were at a dinner opera.
Oh,
I was requested, because I think they had a mistaken identity. Because
they thought you were Will Smith again?
Bob Will Smith.
Matter of fact, and Andrea Bocelli.
But I did sing one. This is a true story, man. So we were there, and we had dinner, and so they asked me to come sing with the National Opera. So I was kind of taken aback myself, so I'm like, wow, did they really know I could sing? But I got up, they, you know, on the stage with them, sang some tunes, and in Italian.
In Italian.
In
Italian.
You
did it in Italian.
In Italian.
Wow.
And I'm telling you what, you can ask Adam Dietrich, because his wife was there. They have the video. Somebody has it. I'm telling you, it's viral. I don't have a video. I wish.
I bet you I'll find it. I bet we can find it. I got a dollar that says
I
find
wish
that.
I could. Nancy took the video, but and she sent it to me. You know, this is like, I don't know, tell like a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, sang. And I did. And I'm a card on Blue Chef. I have proof of that still. Okay, you left. You want to see the picture? Hold on.
Okay, right.
Hold
you got one daughter.
Hold on.
One baby girl.
That's Mr. Rowe, you see how you're doing it?
Did you buy that baby furniture?
Let me find this picture with Tim.
Your sweet baby girl.
I'm
going to
find this picture.
Sweet baby girl. Would you buy her
cordon bleu chef?
You could. Don't lie. Where?
Allow me.
Cordon. I'm Italian. I was. You are so
that's French.
But my trainer.
Oh, he was Italian?
Dr. Brown, I'm gonna start lying to you. Like, Mr. Bashir, how's things going over at Peachtree? I think they're fine, Dr. Brown.
I got trained, I'm telling you. Let me see this.
Any advice today?
Huh?
You
I got trained.
I'm gonna start lying to Dr. Brown.
You being a short order cook of Popeyes over the summer doesn't make you a good chef.
Hey, we're gonna start with my friend Mr. Rowe, since he has not been. Mr. Rowe, what does that say right there for? I know you ain't glasses on. I know it says Cardon Bleu.
That's your name.
Right, ma'am. See, Cardon Bleu's in Italian. He doesn't read Italian. Who is that guy?
Oh, you deleted it.
Yeah. Who's that?
Oh, my God.
Who's that?
Yeah. Who are these people? Oh, that's your baby.
Yeah. Cordon Bleu chef. Uh-huh. So using circumstantial evidence, I think you would be safe to assume that I'm also
an officer.
Yeah.
I think you took a class and got a certificate. I'm
going to
go cook dinner.
Oh, now you want to talk about cooking dinner, not the chef. Now on your way home, you'll be texting like boys at the recipe.
I do know you cook a great dumpling.
Hey man, I tried to do that deal and then I'm
like,
Randy.
Oh,
Randy.
Yeah, so we have
a full of Peachtree.
I've got some kids, one child, my youngest just missed.
Oh, it's a cold fish.
Okay, girl. Cold.
I have a daughter graduating from
the next one. So, my kids at home, my cooking is way more
than
me.
Right there.
Just being hurt. Eat me at home.
I've got a special son.
He'll be awake tonight.
That's hand sanitizer, baby. We gave that out to all the square feet. You staff.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't know that you have to. I'm going to get one out of Harlan and Trail.
There's some guys who are my pillows. I guess you lost them.
Oh, they don't quit.
What do you mean by so?
So I have a little townhouse here. Okay. And then my husband lives in Temple. So we have the big house. Sometimes he lets me go to the big house.
Man, how long have you been with this?
5 years.
Too long.
5 years. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're with Dwayne.
Dwayne. So this is the thing. I taught him in here.
Left.
I taught here. Not anymore.
It's not consecutive. It's like if I went and played for another team and then came back. LeBron's time with the Cavaliers.
Are you from the area?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm in Sheffield.
You know what? Come to think of it, Mr. Rowe was in Cleveland when you were in high school. What was it? Yeah, I picked up my office with all that black hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, you look like a president going into office for the first time.
What did you do there?
He was out of that book director. I was 32 at the time. I'm 56 now. It's been a few years ago. It was
97, 98.
Ivan Williams was coached for me in Livingston. Kevin Welrich coached for me.
Kevin? Did he?
Yeah.
2001.
I know Danny Lee and Billy.
Yeah. Did I get what?
You
graduated
in 2001.
I graduated in 2001.
So, what grade were you in 97? About what? 7th grade or something
like that? No, 97, 98, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, How was the cheerleader?
Well, good, man. You can give us some points whenever you start to take over cheerleading, obviously.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. That's the URL.
That's exciting. No. Yeah, no, that's right. And my dad's David Sheffield.
Okay.
So he was an ag teacher. Different sides of the world. Yeah, he was an ag teacher in Cleveland.
I remember the name. I sure do.
But I've been here 5 years. I've been here 5 years. And I did not get my 5-year pin.
She had her mom, Paul, man.
You know, Mark Ross?
She's, mm-hmm. You know what?
Little brother? Yeah, he will probably need a little.
Walker.
Well, Walker.
Dr. Barnes. Well, that's called San Ron County. That's a Martin Martin.
He's a director.
Yeah, that's right there.
Rob.
I've been here 5 years.
Robbie.
Yes. Williams. What's his name?
Robbie.
I love it. He came up to me after the news from Deport Natchez, mm-hmm. from about 12,000 Indians.
Yeah.
He came up to me. He was a youth minister.
Yeah, Robbie's a youth minister. Walker, I don't know what Walker does.
Walker Ross.
Yeah, little brother runs a Verizon, I think. Yeah. Those are all my people.
Wow.
Those are all my people. Because I've been here 5 years.
You go later, Brian.
So I guess I've been here 5 years.
I got some math teachers for.
I left, and then Brian called, and he's like, "Please come back. Please come back.
We got some math teachers here for. Peachtree.
Have
you seen this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Have you seen it? This is fun. Yeah.
let's Delaney use it.
Well, I'm going to kiss the president. What's the name of the kid? This is a real classic comedy.